Pope Francis and the fight against climate change. From Marketplace, I'm David Brancaccio. We're continuing to follow the visit of Pope Francis along the Eastern Seaboard, where today he'll address a joint session of Congress, followed by a trip to New York for an evening prayer service. The Pope is making climate change one of his central issues, a conversation that's taken place at the nexus of science, regulation, markets, and now morality. Could this reframe the issue for many Americans? That is certainly what Pope Francis is seeking to do for many Catholics in the country. And as Marketplace's Scott Tong reports from our sustainability desk, this issue is so often one of warring tribes.
Ever heard of the famous door hanger study? More than 1,000 families got different messages on their doors about saving energy and why. Some door hangers said, do it for the planet. Others, do it for your kids or to save money. Well, the only door hanger to actually spark change said, do it because your neighbors do. The power of the tribe. Go against it and you have a problem.
The problem of being ostracized from your tribe.
Bob Inglis of South Carolina is a former Republican congressman. Former because he betrayed his tribe on climate change and was not reelected. He says the climate issue is socially expensive for conservatives who frame it a certain way.
It's sort of in the milieu of death and guilt, and perhaps we should all walk and eat bugs. I mean, that's how conservatives perceive the conversation.
Into this conversation walks the Pope, who could reframe the issue by effectively introducing a new tribe, not a political one, but a moral one.
The Pope can give particularly conservative Catholics tribal protection to say that, of course we accept the science. Of course we believe that there are solutions to be found.
Already, though, key conservative lawmakers have distanced themselves from the Pope on climate. For them, his message may be too counter-tribal. Here's University of Chicago economist Steve Sakala.
Suppose you're one of the, I think it's 11 Catholic Republican senators, and the Pope delivers this message. It's delivered in the midst of a message that is very strongly anti-markets, anti-capitalist.
Others say wait till the Pope comes and speaks to the masses in Washington and beyond. Perhaps it poses a new doorhanger question. Will you change your energy and environment behavior because your neighbors do, or because the head of your church does? In Washington, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. The FT 100 index in London is down about 1.5%. The stock index futures for the U.S. are all down at the moment. The CSI 300 in Shanghai rose 0.2%. The DAX in Germany down 1.6%. There's talk in Germany that the Volkswagen scandal could hurt the German economy more than the Greek crisis, forecasts that seem overdone. More on VW in just a moment. The 10-year Treasury yield in the U.S. is down at 2.12%. Crude using the Texas benchmark is up more than a percent to about $45 a barrel. The greatest ad campaign of the 20th century, as deemed by Advertising Age magazine, was the one in the 1960s for Volkswagen. Think small. One print ad showed just an itty-bitty VW Beetle in the distance on a plain white background. Cute, not fancy, gets the job done, is the implication. This ad campaign and the ones that followed it for generations to come became part of what we thought of when we saw those two letters, VW. Now what do you think when you think Volkswagen? Now that the CEO has resigned amid the revelation that 11 million VW and Audi diesels illegally pollute because they were rigged to cheat emissions tests. For companies, a strong brand like VW had is a treasure chest.
Volkswagen was known as a fun-to-drive, well-engineered vehicle that had relatively premium materials inside and out and well-built, high-quality, well-screwed-together vehicle.
Carl Brower is director of insights at the automotive pricing and research outfit Kelley Blue Book. He says even before the scandal, VW did have some dents in the brand.
Volkswagen also did have maintenance issues where people who would buy these Volkswagens would find themselves having to take them in more often to have things fixed. Not really strange at the side of the road things, but, you know, niggling problems that required attention. And they were like that for years. They were actually much better in recent years in reality, but the perception was still there for many customers.
And the VW brand is getting more than tarnished here. It's fair to say it's getting mangled after what appears to be a head-on collision with stupidity somewhere at that company.
This one was done by commission, not omission.
Barbara Kahn is a professor of marketing at the University of Pennsylvania's Wharton School of Business.
What their accusation is about is a direct claim that they made about clean air and the clean diesel and things like that. So when there's deception or lying about a direct claim, I think it really violates consumer trust.
But despite the seriousness of what appears to have happened at VW, the world's largest company by sales, largest car company, seems to have learned from history. Paul Argenti is a professor of corporate communications at the Tuck School of Business at Dartmouth.
They've had a lot of other examples to look at that were so bad. I mean, the way Toyota responded to this was awful. The way GM equivocated about it, I thought was horrific. So I think if you're an automobile company, you probably went to school on this and figured out what your strategy for response was going to be in terms of your reputational risk. And the communications people are exceptionally good at this company and did a very good job.
The real repair job for VW's brand will start when the company figures out how to remedy the situation, how to fix the cars, how to fix its management. It set aside an initial $7.25 billion for what's expected to be a long, evolving process. From the studios at Montclair State University today, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.